Hello, med students. My name is Zach Olson, and thank you for downloading this week's episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. I received an email from Nan this week for an episode request, which I think was a great idea. He wrote, "Hi, Zach. It would be incredibly awesome if you can cover the types of oxygen administration, when, and how to use them. Our clinical director is very hard on us about not knowing when and how much oxygen to administer. My classmates and I would very much appreciate it if you can make this one of your next podcast topics." All right, thanks for the email. It's actually a great question. I've been wanting to kind of talk about this for a while because a few people have been asking this. So let's go through it. Let's talk about oxygen and hypoxia today. If you haven't checked it out already, go back to those old breathing episodes and take a listen to that as well. But we're going to build on that today and go a little more in depth. Hypoxia is bad. It's the B in the ABCs of emergency medicine. And so the first thing we kind of have to do is define what is hypoxia. Is it a number? Is it when the patient is short of breath? In the emergency department, it's all about the O2 saturation. We don't really do too many ABGs, although we could use one of those too. But what we do in the emergency department is we put on that pulse ox and we measure an O2 saturation, usually defined as somewhere around 94% or less. That's hypoxia. That's mild hypoxia, at least. There is one exception to this rule. You probably know this, but patients with chronic lung diseases, they learn to adapt to the low oxygen levels that they normally get. So it's not uncommon for them to have a baseline O2 saturation of like 90%, and that is normal for them. That is what their O2 saturation always is. Because what they do, this is what someone told me, they make extra red blood cells, they only fill them 90% full, but with the extra cells floating around, that's plenty of oxygen. In these chronic lung patients, less than 90% is kind of what we call hypoxia. In normal patients, less than 94%. And if they're hypoxic, they need oxygen because hypoxia is bad. There are really four ways to do this, each being more invasive than the next. Those four ways are nasal cannula, oxygen mask, also called a Venturi mask or a Veni mask, non-invasive positive pressure ventilation like BiPAP and CPAP, and then intubation. Each is more aggressive than the next, but each works a little bit better than the last one. Start with a common 2-liter nasal cannula, kind of work your way up from there, 4 liters nasal cannula. Then after that, you can maybe put on one of those oxygen masks, crank it up to 10 liters, 15 liters per minute. If they are still hypoxic, that is when we move on to the positive pressure masks. The nice thing about these is not only does it give a higher concentration of oxygen because it's sealed to their face, but you can also add PEEP, which improves hypoxia as well. And the caveat with this is that patients have to be alert with these pressure masks, otherwise it forces their spit down their throat, and then they die of aspiration pneumonia. If they are still severely hypoxic or altered at this point, that's when you intubate them. There's not really a lot of options here. You just kind of work your way up these four devices: nasal cannula, face mask, non-invasive positive pressure ventilation like CPAP, BiPAP, and then tube. There's one more quick pearl with this though. Specifically, patients with COPD and CHF respond really, really well to those pressurized masks. That is why attendings will sometimes jump ahead in the algorithm. They'll jump past nasal cannula and face mask and put these patients on BiPAP or CPAP right away, because patients with COPD and congestive heart failure get way better, way, way faster with pressurized mask, with that PEEP. But that's kind of your basic algorithm. The other reason I wanted to talk about this topic today is because it is currently like this very hot topic in emergency medicine as well, which means your attendings are going to maybe kind of ask you about this. Is oxygen bad? Can you just give infinite amounts of oxygen and that's okay? Or does at some point oxygen become a bad thing? There was this landmark paper way back in 2010 where the United States did this massive retrospective review study of oxygen in patients after cardiac arrest. It came out in JAMA. It was called The Association Between Arterial Hyperoxia Following Resuscitation from Cardiac Arrest and In-Hospital Mortality. There were 6,000 patients. Patients who got hypoxic, which we know is bad, died 57% of the time. Patients who were normoxic, they weren't hypoxic, died much less, 45% of the time. But the big shocker was that patients who were hyperoxic, which they measured with an ABG, patients who got cranked up to 100% oxygen and just left there, died the most, 63% of the time. Statistically significant, they died more than hypoxic patients and way, way more than normoxic patients, which made like everybody in emergency medicine go, oh crap, oxygen is bad, and they started titrating down the O2 as much as possible as long as the patient wasn't hypoxic. But then there was some controversy. The next year, in 2011, the Australians did the exact same study, enrolled twice as many people in their own database to confirm the American study. But this time, they meticulously controlled for confounders, specifically how sick the patients were, which, as you know, are everywhere in retrospective studies. You've heard the whole correlation does not equal causation. And in the end, they found that hyperoxia had no difference in mortality. And fireworks just went off. These were two huge, massive, well-designed retrospective trials completely conflicting against each other. And this is in 2011. After that, everyone's freaking out. And so more and more studies are getting published now. In 2012, they did a meta-analysis of all of the animal trials between 1990 and 2010, or at least a lot of them. And the way they had done these trials is they had killed puppies. I think it was a total of like 107 puppies were killed. And they were resuscitated, given different amounts of oxygen. And then their brains were biopsied. The neurons in the puppies who were loaded with high doses of oxygen were messed up. Oxygen is bad. In 2015, a randomized prospective trial comes out. In this one, patients blasted with oxygen when having a STEMI had more recurrent MIs and more dysrhythmias than the patients that were not given oxygen unless absolutely necessary. Oxygen is bad. In 2016, this was going to seal it forever, actually. There was another prospective randomized trial, JAMA, big journal, Effect of Conservative versus Conventional Oxygen Therapy on Mortality Among Patients in the ICU. Again, patients died 20% of the time when they received tons of oxygen, and the patients who received minimal oxygen, just titrating to like 94%, only died 12% of the time. Oxygen is bad. In the plan with this study, interestingly, they were going to power it so that they could look at hyperoxia in all of these different medical conditions and say hyperoxia is bad forever, nail in the coffin, done. But no joke, an earthquake strikes, destroys the main hospital, and they couldn't get the numbers they need to finish the study. So that again, all we can say is oxygen increases mortality, oxygen is bad. But we couldn't quite finish it. So what does all of this mean? Well, let's start from the top. We know hypoxia is bad. And so we give nasal cannula, then we move up to the Venturi mask, then we move up to the pressurized mask, and then we intubate if necessary. We know that people with chronic lung diseases have a normal oxygen level of even 90% sometimes, and that that's okay. And we know that patients with CHF and COPD respond really, really well to positive pressure ventilation. However, we also know now that just carelessly giving oxygen until the patients hit 98, 99, 100% on the monitor kills people. It kills people. So be careful with your oxygen. Turn it down if you see somebody with an O2 sat of 98% on a nasal cannula. They don't need that much. Too much is a bad thing. The links to all of these studies will be in the show notes. So if your attendings start pimping you on this, you can pull up those trials. You'll be ready to go. Shoot me an email with any questions you have. I'd love to chat with you. And until next time, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.